Three, two, one,
Ghost.
hey everybody, welcome to 321 Ghost. I'm your host of this island, G, Kyle, and as always, joined by my pal, my confidant, my, well, I wanted to say fellow camp counselor, Natalie, but I don't think you'd be caught fucking dead at a camp, let alone like working at one. I mean, I guess, yeah. Hey, Natalie.
Would you?
No, absolutely not.
No, I don't think either of us would. I'm doing okay. You know why?
Why is that?
Because it's Friday the 13th.
Happy Friday the 13th, everybody.
Yeah.
And just as promised, just as advertised, every time we run into a Friday the 13th, our schedule full stop. Everything shuts down. We focus on nothing else but a Friday the 13th movie. This is our third Friday the 13th, if anyone's been keeping track since this podcast started. So here we are talking about maybe, I don't even want to say the scariest barn movie ever made, but we're talking about 1982. Double check that.
Yeah, that's
1982's,
correct.
thank you. Friday the 13th, part three in three dimensions. Can you believe it?
Ooh, this is our second movie in a row that's in 3D, so.
Yeah, we've only done two movies that have specifically been shot for 3D. Now, technically, Final Destination 3 was in 3D, but that was like a post-conversion situation. Now, Final Destination 4, that shit was filmed specifically for that purpose, just like this one here. So we've
What
only done
about,
two.
that's not true.
What am I forgetting?
Piranha 3D.
Oh, Jesus, you're right, huh?
It's in the
It's in the
title.
name.
Come on.
That shows how much I remember that movie. But so I guess this is our third 3D movie, intentional 3D movie,
Yeah.
and doing two back to back. So I hope everyone's got their red and blue glasses ready for this
Yeah.
one.
Hope you're ready. Big difference between 3D in 1982 and 2009. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So this movie, directed by Steve Miner. Steve Miner, did a few different Friday the 13th movies. He also did Halloween H2O.
Yes.
So good for him. We also have Richard Brooker as Jason this time around. And also Dana Kimmel, Paul Kratka, a few others, all playing, well, they're not even camp counselors this time around, but teenagers that we generally are going to forget.
Why are they there? We can get to that later, but
Yeah. Jeez, I don't think I can even talk about like when I first watched this movie, just because
yeah.
I remember watching the first one. I'll always remember that. But the rest of them all just kind of bleed together after a while. So I don't know when they were like on TV or whatever, watching like on old copied over tapes, not like The Ring, but you know, in a safe way. So I couldn't even tell you when I watched this. I bet it wasn't even the whole thing when I watched it. I was watching bits and pieces of like the entire series whenever they were airing, whenever I could sneak and
Yeah.
watch them. But I don't know. What about you? What are your memories with this one specifically?
This one specifically, I don't think I have any real memories attached to it. Same as you. I think when we were kids and it was the 90s, all of these movies were just on television a lot. But I also had a lot of horror VHSs at my cousin's house. And so there's a good chance we were watching these on VHS, like kind of just whenever we wanted to. But this one sticks out to me because of Jason wearing that hockey mask. So even though it's probably not the one that I saw first with him wearing it, like it sticks in my brain because of that. So I don't have any like attachment to the first time that I watched it or anything like that.
It feels very much like a transitional movie from like where the first two started, and then I think ultimately finding its voice with the next couple chapters after this, or at least two of the next three chapters after this. So So I've, again, I feel like it's very transitional in that sense. Like, so like Jason has the hockey mask, but he's also clearly like an alive human being who like grunts and gets hurt, and you hear a lot of Jason in this one.
That's really interesting that you hear him making noises. Is it the only one where you hear him like respond to pain?
I think so. I don't remember it in the other two. So
Yeah, because I feel like after this, he gets a little bit more quiet. And if you stab him, it doesn't seem to stop him. Whereas this, like, he gets stabbed in the leg and he's having to navigate that as any human would, being stabbed in the leg. So that's really interesting because he's running, he's getting hurt, he's killable, and in the future, that's not the case.
so you've got like a little bit of what's to come in the series, you know, of course him having the hockey mask. But yeah, it's like you know, when you're halfway through the little graphic on the bottom corners of Animorph books when they're like not quite kid, not quite iguana, you know, but that's like a weird kind of in the middle, you know, halfway
I
through
love
the
that you
book.
chose iguana as your animal.
I think that's what he, or maybe he's a chameleon in the first book, I think.
He's like a large, well, maybe he is an iguana because they can get pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be right. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. And then the second one, I think it's the girl and she turns into something else. And the third one is the boy that turns into a hawk that stays a hawk. And the fourth book, it's the other girl that turns into a dolphin. And then the fifth one is the guy that turns into a gorilla.
This
And
is
that's a...
just a sample of what you're all going to get with our Animorphs
I know. Me just
podcast.
like vaguely remembering things, even though it's not like I do much different in this podcast. So yeah. So this movie is, I don't know, like I said, it's fun, and but it just nothing is super memorable. Like nothing like outside of, and I'll get there, the 3D part, which is absolutely a gimmick through this movie, but often it's just like poles and stuff just kind of waving in your
Yeah,
face.
it's probably
But
the easiest way to do 3D then.
I do think that there are still some effective shots and effective kills here in this movie.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm ready to hop right in. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Just like the last one, very much appreciated that it starts with just a, again, we've got a 85-minute movie. The first 7 minutes is just recapping the last movie, so you remember everything that's going on. They probably stopped doing that because they realize it doesn't really matter if you remember what's going on or not.
It doesn't. Well, I thought that it made sense actually for part two, but for this one, because you don't see Ginny in this movie,
Yeah.
it seemed weird that we would like need to know because we get a news broadcast later that tells you what happened to her.
Exactly. So it feels like it kind of doubles up. So you've got that. And then, damn. Is it Henry Manfredini who does the score for this movie? Can we give him an Industry Legend Award? Because this shit
This music is so good.
it's so good. And my understanding is that the music at the beginning that's more of like it's got a beat, you know, so you're like grooving. Like I said, I can't remember what episode it was, but oh, just that crux of spooky and funky. It's I want to live there forever. Apparently that track was really popular at disco clubs and gay bars in the early 80s.
Oh, interesting. I mean, it hits pretty hard. Like, as soon as it kicked up, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot this song is so good.
If you were born like 20 years prior, I could totally see you just like being at the club in 82, and then
Oh,
this
hell
track
yeah.
drops, and you're like, I knew they'd honor the
Yes.
request. It's probably just you going from club to club, just asking for that and just fucking feeling it. And I love it.
That feels right.
So this movie starts at, I guess this is like a convenience store that Harold and Edna own that they live behind. And these are also our first two deaths. Like you said, it feels a little unnecessary to have this like all these action shots from the second movie, because that newscast would have just explained it all, right?
Yeah, it recaps it perfectly, and you even see like footage of Jenny like going to the hospital. But okay, is this convenience store? It says Crystal Lake like on the sign on the front.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like on Crystal Lake or near it?
I don't know if Crystal Lake is in itself like a town and also a lake, like the lake and the town that surrounds it.
I don't think it's a town. I feel like Jason is breaking his own rules a little bit here with this like venture out to these people's house. It feels very like Michael Myers.
Very Michael Myers hiding out with the clothesline shit.
Yeah. And stealing the clothes and like, you know, going into the house, finding weapons. It feels a little, I guess we're still learning Jason's character at this point, but it feels a little out of character for him.
Edna is right. Harold's fucking useless and filthy and disgusting.
Edna also looks like she's under 25, but they have her dressed like she's a 50-year-old plus woman, like in the curlers and the robe. I'm like, when I was a kid, I was like, wow, she's so old. And now I watch it, I'm like, okay, that is a very young woman, and she is very hot underneath all that like shit that they put on her. It's so strange to me. And then Harold looks like he's got to be well into what, like his late 30s, maybe early 40s. The casting of men versus women in these movies is always very off-putting.
At first I was going to be like, Edna, you're going way too hard on Harold, because that's your
thing
is just shitting him. But yeah, he's like going through the convenience store, his store that he owns, and I get it.
I can't.
But you're eating, you can't, don't eat your inventory, bro. You're, first of all, you got the random rabbits, and spoiler alert, a lot of, some dead rabbits in this movie. Even though I don't think that was Jason. I think it was the snake, I guess, but whatever.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Eating the peanuts, you put the fucking thing back on the lid and put it back on the shelf.
He put it back on the shelf. That's where it gets extra gross. If he was just like taking the inventory and eating it, I could forgive half of that. But he puts it back. He even takes a sip of what looks like Sunny Delight.
That's and even then worse.
Puts it back in. Ew.
Oh, that's terrible. Ugh. Harold, that's, you're fucking disgusting.
Yeah, Harold can take a hike.
Harold's around, the newscast is going on, Edna is maybe seeing something out, I think it's Harold.
No, it's not Harold, that's Jason.
Well, I know she thinks
yeah,
it's
well
Harold.
she thinks it's Harold. Yes, I thought you said you think it's Harold. I was like, no, that's not Harold, that's Jason. But what do you think's happening here?
So Harold is finding, you know, or he finds the cage of the dead rabbits as he's putting the other rabbit away that was in the store. I did like the snake popping out. You could clearly see it on a little string.
It looks so fake.
It's so good.
It's pretty bad. Anytime I see a small like animal in these movies now, after what happened to the snake in the first film, how we found out that that one was actually murdered, I just worry for any animal actors that are in these movies now.
Yeah, me too. I mean, since we just talked about Final Destination 4, as far as 3D snake effects, though, this movie does it better.
It does do it better. How sad. How sad.
So, Harold, gross enough. Okay, one thing that I just get just stuck on sometimes in movies is when characters go to the bathroom and they don't wash their hands.
Yes, no one washes their hands in this one.
Not only does no one wash their hands, no one wipes. You hear all the sounds that Harold's making in that outhouse. And he's just sitting there. He has like a thing of booze next to it. He's drinking. He hears a sound and he just stands up, pulls his pants up and just walks out. I'm like, bro, I heard what you were doing. You need to check back there.
Refresh my memory. Was that before or after he's eating all the food in the convenience store?
After, thankfully. But
okay.
But let's be real though.
Let's assume he has used the restroom earlier and has not washed his hands. And he was eating fish food.
Oh.
And wasn't grossed out until he read the ingredients.
Yeah.
Yeah, Harold is awful.
Harold deserves to die.
Yes, he does.
And he does. He dies off screen. And then you have Edna, who becomes Deadna.
That's stupid.
That's a pretty good one. She mentions earlier, she's like, huh, where did my sewing needle go? And then Jason famously comes in through a window, stabs her in the back of the throat, and she's dead.
He loves busting through a window.
He loves breaking windows. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I don't know that I would be as chill with losing my sewing needle. Like, she was in the middle of knitting and then just stopped. So that's on her.
100%.
Yeah.
So they're dead. And then this is when we shift to introing our main group of teenagers. We've got Chris, who is our final girl. Which I'll talk a little bit more later. I think she's fine in the kind of final girl pantheon of these movies.
She's fine, but I do take a little issue with her.
Yeah. You have Debbie and Andy. You've got Shelly, who's just a real gross fuck. Oh, and just real Shelly
There's
is
so
such...
many things. So many things.
Shelly is just such a bag of shit. I can't handle it.
Imagine though, this poor actor is cast as Shelly, who they like weight shame, and like he refers to himself as ugly. And I'm like, can you imagine being like, oh yes, I got the part of the ugly guy that they all called, like that like calls himself fat. Like, I'm like, this poor guy.
I don't remember anybody weight shaming him.
No,
he does
weight
it to
shames
himself.
Himself. Yes.
It's all internal.
I know. It's even worse.
And at first I want to be like, you know, hey, I'm a little soft in the middle, right? And I just want to be, first of all, I'm gonna be like, Shelly, like, trust me, dude. It is, hey, if you got a sense of humor, like, you know, maybe lean into that, not the fuckery that you've been doing. But I'm
yeah,
like,
that's not funny.
Hey, good personality goes much farther than you think, man. If you're just a cool dude, and you're gonna be okay. Now, but he, again,
he's not a
so,
cool dude.
And whenever anyone calls himself out on his shit, whenever anyone calls him out on his shit, he's like, well, you know, I'm just a nobody and I'm a nothing and I'm a better, it's better to be a jerk than a nobody. And you're just like, no, it's not.
No, you'd be a nobody instead of being a dick. Like,
so
absolutely.
I can see right through your fucking incel bullshit, Shelly. Get out of here.
Yeah, Shelly.
Who am I forgetting? We've got Vera, who unfortunately is the target of Shelly's affections. And then you've got Chuck and Chili, who are really fun. They're just the stoner type.
They're just having a good time. They last way too long.
Yeah. It was weird that they are the last couple to be alive.
I don't understand the order of people being killed in this movie.
Yeah. But who knows if Jason's really thinking that through, but I hope so.
No,
he's just
not.
Like, you know, he's not like Michael Myers per se, but he, or Freddy, where he's really kind of orchestrating the proceedings, but I think a little bit. So they pass, they pick up Vera, who is, they try to set her up with Shelly, but Shelly fumbles that from the fucking get-go.
The mask? Why are you wearing that fucking mask when you're about to meet somebody that you're like being set up with?
And
what are
put
you
it back
doing?
On. They call him out. He takes it off and then he puts it back on.
Yeah. I'm assuming that's him like being shy.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Not having it with his bullshit. But they're on their way to, I'm trying to understand this. Chris, her name's Higgins, last name's Higgins, and they have a cabin and a plot of land and a barn, kind of like a farm situation off Crystal Lake called Higgins Haven. And she'll reveal later why she hasn't been there in a couple of years. But she's ready. It's time to go back. And she wants to bring all of her friends. And meet her boyfriend, I guess, who is her boyfriend, but she also hasn't seen in a really long time. Was Rick.
Yeah, it's an on and off, on again, off again situation, maybe.
Rick's a pretty funny guy.
Is he?
And the guy, yeah, he's a horn dog and he's dumb. He's so dumb. But
he's
the guy that plays him, It's pretty funny. I think I like him the best.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into Rick.
Maybe it's because I like his death the best too.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get into Rick.
Okay.
speaking of eyeballs, so they also pass by, like I said, Harold and Edna's place. And then on the way, they see this dude just lying in the middle of the road. They pull over. They're like, hey, what the fuck's going on? And I guess Jason talked to this man and is like giving like gifts of pieces of people's bodies that he's just like handing out.
What? That is not what I gathered at all.
No, he's lying in the middle of the road and they're like, what is it that he has? And the dude has an eyeball that was removed from someone's head.
I mean, he could have taken it out of someone's head. We're thinking that he's been having conversations with Jason.
He said Jason gave it to him.
I thought he said Jesus.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. J name, same difference, whatever.
I thought he said that he's been talking to Jesus because he's like, the words that he's saying sound like, okay, let me start over. The words that he's saying sound very like biblical.
Yeah.
He's giving them some sort of like warning. So I thought he said that he was talking to Jesus and that he like was given this eyeball as a warning for these kids. So are they trying to replace Crazy Ralph here? Your favorite?
Just regular Ralph,
just
Natalie. Come on.
Regular.
I thought we were past that.
He's pretty crazy.
So this guy though, he's crazy.
This guy's
100%.
Crazy.
Because he's just speaking and waving his eye at the camera and
no Ralph.
And then saying his cryptic warnings. Backing up real quick, I mean, regardless of what your religious faith is, I think of Jesus as a, what do you call it, kind of a composite character, right? Like there's probably a bunch of dudes preaching the word of God that had beards and shit and said, hey, be nice to poor people, please. And then everyone's like, oh, fuck, we saw that guy. Did you see that same guy? It must be the same guy. So maybe there were a bunch of people that could have been Jesus, so to speak. And maybe one of them was Jason
was
Voorhees.
Jason.
You know,
I just don't
know
that that's what he would be preaching. He'd be like, you see any teens having sex in that lake lately?
Let me find him. But I thought that was the thing, because like he, and that's why he's providing the warning, is like, I've seen this guy. Pain's coming to y'all if you go that way, kind of situation. I don't know.
Maybe. He's definitely confused. Speaking of sex in the lake, I felt like this is going a little bit back before they introduce Vera. But like one of the first things that Chris says is to her friends, she says, sex, sex, sex. You guys are getting boring. And I'm like, okay, so we're like establishing her as actually the one who's boring. But also I'm like, why are you judging them for wanting to have sex? Like that made me not like Chris, like right off the bat.
And then why is Shelly sitting in the back of that van just being like, oh, you're all just wasting your lives smoking weed. Like I said in the other episode, it's like someone giving someone shit for smoking. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Get the fuck out of this van.
They're very judgmental. I mean, I feel like they must have gone into this. I mean, with how much those two smoke, you knew they were stoners going into this situation, and you knew the other two are nonstop fucking. So why are we surprised? Why are we giving them shit for this? I feel like that feels weird, but I guess maybe it's to call out like they're misbehaving to make them a better target for Jason, to make Chris seem like a better final girl. I'm not sure.
I guess so. And why does Debbie need to be pregnant?
It doesn't come up again.
No. Nor does she look pregnant at all.
No. No.
I mean, you don't have to. She could be like literally.
No, she could
like
be super early, but it is strange. It's a strange choice for sure. Yeah. There's a lot of like weird things like that that make this movie feel off.
Yeah. Little icky. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I like child murder in horror movies. Definitely. But it just feels just so like, I don't know. It's very up, especially because it never comes up again.
Yeah. It's strange.
So they arrive at Higgins Haven, and then this is where we meet Rick.
Fucking Rick.
Fucking Rick. Fucking Rick's just like, hey, you're here. You want a bone now? Are we good? Are we
No.
back together?
Before even that, Rick just hiding behind the door and
I
like
know.
popping out, scaring her, and then like immediately just smushing his face into her face for a kiss. And where Chris fucks up is she kisses him back. Like you see a full-on pucker. She does kiss him back. And I'd be like, dude, I'm gonna need you to back the fuck up. You just scared the shit out of me. And now you're trying to fuck. He hasn't seen her for months. We established that later.
Yeah, he's probably mad. So he's like, I'm gonna scare her and then kiss her. I don't know. I don't know what it is with dudes like thinking that like that's the way to like that's some like, elementary school playground
It's
shit,
very much elementary school. Well, and I mean, we were not alive when this movie was filmed, so maybe that's how men flirted and, talked to women then. But you can tell they don't like it. They're just like polite. She's like, "Well, can you give me a minute? I need to reacclimate myself with you and my surroundings." I'd be like, "Bro, back the fuck up! Like,
Yeah, get that
you kick
fucking
that ding
yo-yo
dong
out of my
somewhere
fucking
else."
face.
That fucking yo-yo. I would have grabbed that shit, threw it into the lake with Jason.
Yeah, we're like, yo, no. Meanwhile, Jason, having already killed Harold and Edna, wearing Harold's clothes and really nice boots. I like his
He
boots.
looks great. No, I think I
Yeah.
like Jason's outfit like a lot, actually.
Definitely. He makes his way into the barn that's behind the cabin, and this barn, a lot's gonna happen in this barn.
They really wanted to get their money's worth with this barn.
So they're all getting settled. Chris hears a scream upstairs, though clearly it sounds like a woman's scream,
I
but
was wondering
it's,
about this too. Who screamed?
well, I think it's Shelley.
Oh, so he's like trying to lure them all up there, but it sounds like like an actual woman.
Right. Because I mean, the first person to find Shelly is Chris. So Shelly's just been hiding in that in that cabinet or wherever the fuck he's in. And has like the fake, axe through his head. And again, he's just like, sorry guys, I thought you'd like it. He's got kind of
No
like a
one would like
fucking,
that.
yeah, I don't know.
Shelley might be the reason for every single slasher having a prankster,
Yeah.
which is terrible. I would never do
Yeah.
that to my friends.
That's terrible. Yeah, especially in a situation like this. It's just when they were in the van earlier and Vera is, asking like, what the fuck is in this like box that you have? He's just like, by the end of the day, you'll know. This is my everything. And you're just like, oh, Jesus Christ, dude, what the fuck's in there? But
I
like
would
turns
think there's
out
like body parts in there.
that honestly would be less off-putting than a grown-ass man carrying around a box of like pranks and goofs. I mean, okay, yeah, having body parts, yes, okay, technically worse. But I'm just saying, I'd be like, oh man, you are really trying to not get any action.
I wrote down the same thing. I'm like, Shelly, like, are you really trying not to get laid? Because that's what it feels like. He's doing everything in his power to not get laid. Maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe he doesn't want to hook up.
Maybe that is what
He's
this is.
sabotaging it. Like,
We're
that's
just
the only explanation.
Vera's like, well, everyone's like, we need to get let's all take a break. Fuck you, Shelly.
Yeah, let's get the fuck out of here.
I know Rick, first of all, Rick being like, oh, Shelly, you asshole. But like, you just were hiding behind a door scaring Chris too. So like, let's be cool.
They do a couple of fake, like couple Jason fake outs with that kind
Yeah.
of stuff.
Vera's not having it. She's like, I'm gonna go back to that store, with all the ambulances and body bags. But Because who's working that store when they go back? Or is that not the same store?
I don't think it's the same store. That would be insane.
That'd be insane. They've already hired someone else. Yeah.
I mean, they probably have some employees, right?
I guess so. I mean, but if the owners are dead, it's like, well, I have to still come in. Like, who's going to
be like, I'm not coming into work. Who's writing my check?
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't. But she decides to go, borrows Rick's car. Shelly, like an asshole, just starts fucking, you know, hoofing right behind her, being like, oh, let me come. You know, she's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Fine.
She's very nice to him, considering.
Considering everything, she's still very nice to him. I like Vera.
I love Vera.
Yeah.
I love her.
And I feel bad. Gosh, her mom knew. She was like, she's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Ugh. That would be me. I'm Vera's mom.
Oh, and then just to find out later,
I'd be fucking furious.
Speared through the face.
Oh.
Yeah. They go to the store only to get accosted by this like biker gang. I call it a chain gang because it's not necessarily like a chain gang, but they wear lots of chains.
I love their looks.
I love it.
I love their looks, but like they do not look like a biker gang. They just look like kind of like edgy, like LA, like hipsters to me. Like, or just like they'd be, I don't know, at like a punk show or something. But I love the way they're dressed.
They look like Bebop and Rocksteady before they become mutated.
Yes.
I love it. So it's a vibe I'm really into.
Yeah.
Their names, Ollie, Fox, and Loco. Fucking great.
They're great.
So they're antagonizing Vera and Shelly. They manage to escape, not before they, well, first Shelly at first backs up and knocks over all their motorcycles.
Fucking
and
you're idiot. Just like,
Jesus Christ. Like,
could you be any worse?
And again, Vera is still very nice to him because like afterwards, like, well, the windshield gets busted in by Ollie,
dude,
right?
That like glass just flying right at their fucking faces. I don't like that at all.
Right. And then he runs over their bike and drives off. And then he's all feeling all like real proud of himself. I'm like, yeah, dude,
they could follow God. You.
And they do.
Yeah. I would be terrified that they would follow me. I would not have gone back and run over that bike. Like, I feel like him knocking them over and them busting the window is like, even, we're good. Like, even the score. Just leave it.
Just get out of here.
Shelly's just trying to be badass over here.
And it's not even like even, because the only person that really kind of suffers from this is Rick, because it's his car. When they get back, they're just like, sorry about that. Should be a minor repair. And I'm like,
I know. They expensive. Didn't even say anything.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So they come back. Andy's yo-yoing like an asshole.
I hate that.
Rick is, once they come back and Rick's windshield is smashed, Rick's like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. This is stupid. Your friends are dumb. Getting laid is not worth this. I'll find a new girlfriend.
Did I miss a whole, is the scene at the barn where they're lifting the hay, like while they're at the convenience store?
Yes.
Okay. So let's back this up for a minute here, because I have more thoughts about Rick. Because, Rick. Number one, again, just like in part two, the difference between, like, the age difference between Jenny and what's his name that she's with in the second one? Who remembers? Who cares?
I don't know.
But these two look like they have, like, a 10 or 15 year difference. And he's sitting there talking about, like, a schedule that they should be fucking on. Like, he's like, we need, like, 1 hour for the morning and we need 2 hours for the evening. And I'm like, Rick, if you knew how to fuck, you wouldn't have to be begging this girl to get in bed with you. Like, take a hint, bro. Take a hint. It's not happening. Let her deal with her trauma.
He's got to be a bad lay if he, because he's pulling out all the stops, right? He's got his shirt off. He's pulling the thing.
Yeah, it looks great.
I think that's really cute and flirty when he like pulls up. It's first it's hay, the second it's like her coming up and she's like, oh, hey, what's up? You know?
Yeah. So no, Rick, I'm already done with him.
Poor Rick. All right, maybe I don't like Rick that much. I think he's fine. But Chris does convince Rick to stay,
Yes, of
which
course. Of course.
bad move, Rick.
Yeah, it didn't work out well for him.
Gosh, at this point we're back at the van. Andy and Debbie are talking. They want to go out to the lake, so they go. And then this is when the gang catches up with, I said, and by the gang I mean, Allie, Ollie, Fox, and Loco catch up, and they're like, "Here's how we get them. Let me grab that tube, and I'm just gonna start sucking gasoline out."
That's how you like you what are they what is it called? Siphon? Like when
Siphoning,
you
yeah.
like yeah, you like suck the like air, you suck something out of that tube and then
Gasoline.
yeah, but like once it starts, like the gas starts flowing, obviously you move your mouth, but ew.
Oh,
Not
I
my
thought it was
type.
like inconsistent, like you had to keep doing it, because I'm just like, ugh, dude,
No,
you're gonna get
you
gasoline
just
in your
have to
mouth.
like pull the liquid. So you're like sucking in to get the liquid to come start like coming out. And once it starts flowing out, then you've got like a liquid flow going.
You've
I
done
mean,
this
that's what
before.
I obviously.
So they're to get back at them, they're draining all the gas out of the van, which is really gonna fuck Chris later on.
Oh yeah, and by that time you completely forget that this happened.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, Jason like cut the engine. Like, okay, that makes sense. But then I'm like,
Yeah.
oh no, it's out of gas. Oh, those fuckers. Good
Those
thing they're dead,
motherfuckers. Yeah.
right? While they're doing this, Fox runs over to that barn. She's fucking around, swinging out, which I'm like, this barn's like literally right behind the cabin. Like, so nobody's seeing
Yeah.
any of this.
She is running around this barn like she's a child who's never been on a farm before. Like she's like mesmerized by the saddles and like whatever the fuck she's like banging on like drums. Like it's really weird. Like they're very childlike.
Speaking of childlike, she gives me kind of like Rufio vibes.
Yeah,
So it's
a
like the
little
other
bit.
two, it's
The
like Bebop,
headband.
Rocksteady, and Rufio, which would be a pretty fun team.
Yeah, something else fun that I noticed because I mentioned, I think this was in part two, that this all takes place in New Jersey, which I had never realized as a kid, like growing up in New Jersey, thank goodness. But this time around, I noticed on the back of the van, they have a Bruce Springsteen bumper sticker. And I was like, of course, this is New Jersey. Everybody loves Bruce Springsteen, but I just thought that was funny. I never paid attention to their plates or anything.
Do people feel the same way about Bon Jovi? He's also
Oh,
famously
yeah.
a Jersey guy.
Both of them. Yeah, they can do no wrong. Yeah.
So Fox goes into the barn. Ollie's like, hey, go get fucking Fox. Come on, Loco, go do that. Loco goes into the barn. This is kind of an effective use of 3D, at least.
Yeah.
Her death, she does die off camera, but you see that she's been pinned with a pitchfork, so she's dead. I actually thought this was a great shot of him climbing up the ladder and then walking towards the camera, and then you just see her kind of like
Yeah.
not in focus in the background, just pinned and like hanging
I
up like
love
that.
it.
It looks great. And
Yeah, it does.
then of course, because it's 3D, Jason has to kill people in some way that has some long protruding
Yeah.
thing, right?
How
So
many pitchforks are in this barn?
I know.
Because that's the second pitchfork in a row.
So, yeah, just pulled from the pile of pitchforks and then kills Loco. So he's dead. I just assumed Ollie was dead too.
Me too. And he fights back. Not many of our like male characters ever fight back with Jason. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
He usually catches them by surprise, which makes sense. But again, and I'll get to that a little later. That's what I like about Chris is that she fights back more than
Oh, she does.
some of the other final girls have. So Ollie, we think he's dead. The other two, definitely dead. We're back at the cabin. There's the men again just trying to impress these women with a juggling contest.
I mean, of course it would be juggling because it's 3D. Like everything's for the sake of 3D.
What can we
But I
throw at the
mean,
camera? Yeah.
can we also like give those two an award for surviving a swim? Like, how lucky are they?
I know. I thought
Anyone else ever survive a swim in that lake?
that Debbie and Andy were going to die like at that point.
100%. I also love that Andy says something that feels so real because it's Debbie, right? She says, she's like, let's like go in that lake. Like nobody will see us. And he's like, that sounds disgusting. Let's do it. And I was just like, yes, fucking in that lake is disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that he says it, but he's like, I'm still gonna do it.
People, especially young teenagers, will go, like I said, they'll engage in some
Anywhere.
gross shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
So.
Chris and Rick are not at the cabin, nor will they be back until everyone's dead.
Yeah.
Which is one thing I don't necessarily
Yeah.
like about these movies.
It's really exhausting.
When your final girl like doesn't realize something's going on until everyone else is dead, and even all the other characters, they don't realize Jason is a thing until like seconds before they're dead, which I mean I guess makes sense. Like when you first see Jason, like yeah, he's probably gonna kill you pretty quickly. But also like I like some bit of hey, let's regroup whatever's left of the counselors and let's try to run or try to come up with a plan. Of course, it doesn't work because you'll kill them all, but
It'd be
yeah.
fun if like two of them were still alive when Chris and Rick return so that they can be like, holy shit, like there's this guy going, like everybody's dead. Like, and they can kind of panic a little bit or, like you said, like kind of formulate a plan together because, yeah, it feels like all luck.
Chris and Rick are having their conversation, you
Oh
know,
my God.
Rick being like, why are you even back? You know, she reveals her story, which is very strange. And again, it felt weird having the scene like shot and superimposed on her talking about it. I would have just, she probably could have just said what was going on and that would have been fine. I don't think we needed to see this like weird chase. Like, so I guess 2 years prior, which I guess would have been before the events, between the events of part one and part two. So Jason is wandering around doing something at this point and maybe attacks her. It could all be a dream because she wakes up and she's in bed and she's fine.
Yeah, she says that
But
she like passed out and doesn't remember. And I'm like, I think Jason would have gotten the job done. Like, he wouldn't have let her
yeah.
survive if she was unconscious. So that feels really weird. And her acting is a little rough while she's telling this story. So that makes it a little hard to watch. But I do really enjoy that she's like going over her trauma. She's saying that she came back to like prove to herself that she could. And Rick has the fucking not nerve to be like, but what about us?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Rick, let that shit go. When she's ready, she'll say something.
So when you say you're back, like, we back?
Like, are we back?
We
Yeah.
back? Yeah, we good? So,
Exactly.
back at the cabin, jeez, oh yeah. First of all, what's up with indoor hammocks in a
Don't
house?
like that at
I don't like
all.
that one
I'd
bit.
be furious that I would rather sleep on the couch than the hammock.
Yeah, I would about to say, I was about to say I'd much rather. Well, I don't know. I've napped in a hammock, so I hear
Napping
you.
in a hammock is different because it's like an hour, maybe two tops, but like sleeping all night in a hammock, additionally, like getting busy in the hammock, like you're
Yeah.
really putting a lot on your back at that point.
100%. I
I mean,
think
we're
just the
older than them, but
even just sharing a hammock with someone else, I'm just like, no, thank
oh,
you. That's too,
no.
you're gonna like roll on top of me. I'm gonna overheat. I run hot already. I'm good. No, thank you. So, Andy and Debbie go upstairs. They're gonna go have sex. And who knows where Chili and Chuck are at this point?
They've just been gone this whole movie.
Yeah. And Shelly's like, I'm going to shoot my shot. I like you, Vera.
Yeah, of
And
course
then
you
she's
do.
like, and again, fuck Shelly.
Yeah.
Because, dude, when
He does it
she's just,
again.
she tries to be nice and is
So
just like,
nice.
be like, hey, you know, well, I'm just going to clear my head for a little bit, but like, I'm going to
Yeah.
come back. Let's hang out. Like, let's talk,
Yeah.
you know? And then he has the audacity under his breath to call her a fucking bitch.
Oh, he does? I didn't notice that.
He does. When she goes outside, he goes, bitch. And I'm like, fuck you, Shelly. Get fucked.
Wow. I was just mad at him. I didn't even notice that. I was just mad at him because he's like super frowny and like just being an asshole about it. And I'm like, no, she has every right to just be like, hey, man, like I'm not into you. Like, that's that.
So Jason's lurking about, Shelly's inside. They have this like weird kind of like fake out where like Shelly thinks he sees somebody, but I guess doesn't. And then Vera goes out to the dock. God, stay away from that dock.
Oh my gosh, no one should be near a dock at
Yeah.
Crystal Lake.
I would love to see, someone's got this on the internet, I would think, somewhere, right? But someone could draw up a map of Crystal Lake and like where all the scene, like where all these houses are
I would love
along
that.
the circumference of this lake. Because I'm really curious just to get the geography down, because
Yeah.
all these movies at least start in Crystal Lake at some point, but they're all different spots along. So you're not at Camp Crystal Lake anymore
Yeah.
outside of like the second one, right? Well,
I
I
think
don't.
he just claims the whole circumference of the lake. Like, doesn't
Yeah.
matter if it's the camp, what it is, like he died in the lake. He owns that lake, and if anybody comes near it, that's that.
Yeah. So we do see Chuck and Chili here. Again, fucking Chuck, he goes into
The
the
bathroom.
outhouse, just hears a sound. He's sitting, so you know he might be pooping, right?
We knew
And
Harold was for sure.
we knew Harold was for sure. Chuck, I'm pretty certain. And then again, hears a sound, pulls his pants right up. There's no wiping whatsoever.
Gross.
So gross, guys. And he just walks out. He gets startled by Chili.
I mean, there's no, like, in his defense, there's no sink in the outhouse, but his first move should have been to go straight from the outhouse into the regular house to wash his hands.
Yeah, but he doesn't even wipe. I'm even more worried about that.
Oh, both. Yeah. But I
Yeah.
mean, oh, yeah. Ugh.
I know, it's
How
terrible.
uncomfortable. Like, I don't even want to think about the sensation of any of that.
And he's like, and his hands, his little dirty ass little poop fingers are all over his joint that he's smoking. And then he hands it
Ew.
to Chili and she puts it in her mouth. And
Well,
you're like, I know. I'm like watching all this thing, like, oh my God.
the public health issue at this point.
Oh no, you all.
Jason's doing everyone a favor, really.
Yeah, Jason's like disgusted by all of this. He's like, I
He's
at
like,
least wash my hands. I'm
I
clean. Look at
live in
me.
the woods and I still wash my hands, at least in the lake.
100%. So they see a movement going on in the barn. They think it's Shelly. They're like, let's go fuck with them, you
I
know,
love that he
whatever.
calls him a butterball.
Aw. So I guess they do kind of fat shame him a little bit
Yes,
then.
okay, that was, I knew somebody like fat shamed him for sure. Butterball sounds cute though.
Vera, like I said, is over at the dock. A hand reaches up, grabs her. First of all, who's got a fucking wetsuit? Did he bring that in his like little
It's in the
box?
box. All of it is in the box.
What about the
That
spear
tiny little
gun?
box. It's in the box. It's
Oh
like,
my God.
it's like clown pants. Like,
Yeah.
there's no real size or like depth to it. Like, it's just an infinite space.
Oh, like a magician's hat.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Got it. So he jumps out of the water and he's got a spear gun and
That's
he's like
not
wearing
cool.
that fucking hockey mask, which is, that's weird, where it's like, it's a weird combination. And again, she's like, fuck, the second, like, maybe I could have, you still could have maybe saved the situation, Shelly. And I
Yeah.
still maybe could have at least done some hand stuff with you. I don't know. But
Like
no, absolutely
they could have
not.
still hooked up even if she didn't like him. He he went full on, like, this girl rejected me. I have to now find some way to get revenge against her and be an immature asshole. And yeah, I agree. Like, I feel like he still kind of had a chance to at least, like, hook up a little bit.
That's why I don't like that she dies first, because he fucking sulks off like a fucking asshole.
Yeah, that's fucked.
And Jason, well, I think at this point, Shelly then goes into the barn. Again, this barn. And Jason grabs the hockey mask, puts on the hockey mask, right?
Looks
very
great.
Iconic.
Yeah. He was feeling himself, I bet. He was like, oh, okay.
I like this. I'm feeling really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, he's like, I got a good outfit. I got a mask now. Like, I'm feeling really put together.
Getting this groove back. I like
get that.
Get that
spear gun.
You know, I was never really into hockey much, you know,
Ugh,
but I feel
me
like between Jason Voorhees, Casey Jones, another Ninja Turtles reference tonight, and, I mean, honestly, playing Blades of Steel on NES, maybe NHL was just like, hey, you should, like, incorporate, maybe, like, we want to build fans, especially in America,
this
you
is
know?
The way?
Yeah, it's like, let's make... It does look pretty cool, though. Like, a hockey mask, like, looks really cool. And I'm like,
Yeah.
oh, okay. There's a sport where
Very
people wear
badass.
that? That's cool. I like that. So, like, every hockey team's got a little Jason that hangs out in front of his little goal? I like that. So, I'm all about it, though. It's wild that, like, yeah, that's what stuck. They're like, let's, yeah, do the hockey mask. But
Yeah,
fuck, you
it
can't
is.
imagine anything different now. And you see how dumb the bag over his head looks, right?
I was going to say, like, we weren't going to do the bag. So this feels better. And I also, I have to mention, I like that they got rid of his, like, patchy hair that he has in the second movie. I'm glad that they went bald instead, because that's how he looked as a kid. So it feels more fitting.
It might come back in the next one, only just because I'm thinking of Corey Feldman's, like, shaved head that's, like,
Yeah,
got
but it's
patchy.
like, because it's more like, at that point, once he gets more zombified looking, it's very stringy. It's not full
wispy.
on, like, chunks of hair. Yeah, wispy. It's just so thin that you're just like, bro, just cut it off at that point. Like, get out of here with that.
Hey, men, you know,
no, that's different.
Struggle with baldness, and
That's
it's
different.
but yeah, Vera's dead. She drops Shelly's wallet, and
I like her death.
I like her death too. It looks good.
I
The
love
spear coming out of her
Jason.
face.
Yeah, I like Jason, the way he approaches. You see him in that hockey mask for the first time, and you're like, oh shit. He just upgraded. And then you see that go right through her eye. It looks pretty good. And it's very surprising, because you don't expect that Vera is going to die this early on. Or at least I didn't. I, like, every time I watched it, I'm like, oh yeah, they cut her short.
Yeah, I'm like, every minute that Shelly is still alive, I'm like, what's going on?
Just furious.
Yeah. So now we're back inside the cabin. Andy and Debbie having some hammock sex successfully. Good for them.
Yeah, she said some of the best ever. So apparently the hammock's working.
Afterwards, Debbie goes in the shower. Andy is just handstanding around.
Yeah.
Offers to get her a beer. This is a pretty cool kill.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, like, because you don't get to see it when it happens. I assume Jason just chops him right through the dick.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, we're assuming he gets dick chopped.
Yeah.
Okay, I love that, especially
because
he was such an idiot, just, like, walking around in a handstand for however long.
That's what you get. I also like the shot of his body, like, folded up and put up in the ceiling over the ceiling beams. That was really good.
Just, like, how am I going to get him to fit in this overhead compartment?
Debbie's death is fine, but it's just kind of the Kevin Bacon death.
I was thinking the same thing. It's very similar to Kevin Bacon's death. The only thing I'll give them credit for is that she, like, gets distracted and is like, ooh, Fangoria magazine.
Love that. I know.
And picks that up and is reading it. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. Also, I didn't realize it was that old. I guess it makes sense. Yeah.
So Andy and Debbie are dead. Chuck and Chili, they come back to the cabin at this point. I think
alive.
they hear Debbie scream and think
Yeah.
that that's her having an orgasm.
Yeah, that is not what... I hope that is not what anyone sounds like having an orgasm. Because that is a sound of fear.
Well, we were talking about this. I forget which episode it was. Maybe it was like Urban Legend, where I'm just like... Death, or no, it was probably Puppet Master, where I'm like, sex screams, you need to make sure that your sex screams and your death screams are very different so people can tell.
Yes, that was Puppet Master.
Yeah, so the lights go out. Oh no. Chuck's like, god, all right, I'll go to the basement and check this out. So he goes down to the basement. Gotta stop crying wolf, Shelly, because now you're at the fucking door with your throat fucking slit and nobody fucking believes you. I like how Chili's just like, stop fucking around. Fuck you, idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what he deserves. Kind of fun.
Chuck dies. He's downstairs.
Chuck
knew he
deserves
was...
it too, because he made
Yeah.
that fucking popcorn mess and you know he wasn't going to clean that up.
No, absolutely not.
That really frustrated me. I could not believe the way he just let that popcorn fly out.
And then very quickly, everybody's dead except for Chili. She finally puts two and two together and realizes that Shelly's actually dead.
Yeah.
She then starts finding the bodies,
yeah,
running
she's one of the
around.
Only ones to like find bodies before dying in this movie.
Yeah, I mean her and Yeah, like her and then Rick and Chris, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, and then she gets it rough with the hot fireplace poker.
Yeah,
Woo!
I do appreciate that there's, like, you can see, like, little burned pieces of skin on the poker as it, like, you know, after it impales her. It's pretty good. That looks painful.
Chris and Rick finally return. The car battery was dead, but I don't think that was Jason's doing necessarily. It may have
no
been.
That idiot didn't actually charge the battery and have the lights flashing at them while they were sitting having their conversation.
Fucking idiot, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that happened to me once, where I when I tell the story, it makes it sound like a serial killer. I took a girl up into the mountains. And we were in a parked car, making out, whatever, you know. And then I had the radio on, but the car was off.
Oh no!
And we were up there
you
for a
can't
while.
Do that with old cars. With new cars, you can do that.
And I go to turn on the car to leave, and like, oh no, we're stuck.
That's
I don't remember how I got out of that.
It's also a little bit romantic, though. But I would think you were a serial killer.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a little bit of both, right?
You could be a romantic serial killer.
I don't know, maybe. So they do finally return. They can't find anybody. Rick's like, hey, I think they fucking just jumped ship and abandoned us, which Chris is like, I don't know, that still seems a little weird.
Rick has no right to even still be alive, honestly.
Yeah. If Rick could be like, fine, fuck those friends. Like, hey, it's just you and me. We're back.
He's like, we can finally get up in that bedroom, girl.
Yeah, let's get in one of those bed hammocks. But he's like, but first, I'm going to go do a little perimeter check, see where everybody's went. Meanwhile, Chris finds some bodies. Well, realizes, obviously
things are
the
bad.
Burning popcorn, of course, but... And then going upstairs, finding the blood and all the dead people. She runs out, tries to find Rick. Rick is dead, right? And I do like this kill. This is
well,
a,
no,
actually,
like
this...
Jason's like holding him for a little while. Like he has his mouth covered. And I was like, ooh, that's something I don't think we see again for Jason. Like that feels like a one-off of him.
Especially with a male character, too.
Yeah, like I feel like he could have killed him just super quick, but instead he like waits because he's like, oh, like I really wanted to crush his head. Like so he's like, I'll wait for her to go back in the cabin.
Yeah. Oh, and then he squeezes and then the eyeball just pops
oh
at
my
the
God,
camera.
It looks so dumb, but so fun.
It's so good. I love it.
Yeah. I wonder Can you actually pop someone's eyeball out by squishing their head? I don't think that it would work that way.
If you squished it hard enough,
like, is that their
forcefully
way of just
enough?
showing like how strong Jason is?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I just, that feels like you'd be real fucking powerful crushing skulls.
Yeah. So Rick's dead. No, she doesn't realize he's dead yet because also meanwhile, there's a hell of a windstorm picking up.
Yeah.
And getting real windy there. And she goes inside. She's almost kind of playing, it's like whack-a-mole, you know, with all the doors and the windows that keep popping open, which I thought was pretty good. I like that.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm like, I'm seeing a lot of windows. I know what Jason's deal is.
We know.
Something's gonna happen with all these
fucking
windows. They're
kind of laying, they're like giving us a lay of the land of where all the windows are.
Yeah. So Rick gets thrown through this window. She realizes Rick is very dead.
Yeah, he's sick of hearing her call out for Rick. He's like, he's dead. Here's Rick.
And this is where at this point, like 15 minutes tops left in this movie? Because this is when that last chase scene happens. We have our final girl, Chris.
The longest chase scene.
It is kind of a long one. But I do like how she fights back. I think that
I like
they're...
how she fights back, too. I feel like we maybe could have left Rick, since he was our only choice, we could have left Rick in the picture for a couple more minutes. And I know that they bring back our biker guy, but up until then, it feels just like a really long back and forth between her and Jason. I get a little bored every time I watch this, like, this final battle until things start to like ramp up again.
Yeah. I do like that she is, you know, she pulls the knife out of one of the bodies when she's hiding in the closet.
Yeah.
And she comes and she just starts fucking stabbing him and starts going at him, which
yeah,
is
she's
great.
She's going for him. I love that. Yeah. She's like, what else can you do in that situation? And for the record, like, I wouldn't even hesitate. I would take the knife out of your dead body real quick and just be like, thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and like other things, like, you know, she's like, you know, she's like swinging shit at him. She does manage to get to the van to drive off. Again, the gas is empty, right? Mm-hmm. Gas tank's empty. Again, Jason is like kind of human because I feel like the old Jason would not get out of the way of a van coming right towards him. I think he would let the van run him over and he would get like knocked over, but he would just sit right back up and keep going. Jason hesitates and jumps because he's not undead yet.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he is.
But I do like how, you know, he's reaching in and she's like, she's going to roll up the window to trap his hands inside. And she is able to escape out and basically just makes her way. Ooh, gosh, back to the, now we're at the barn again, right?
Back at that barn.
I like how, you know, she tries to barricade the door. It doesn't work. Jason's able just to reach through the middle, take it off, get inside, and then take something better to barricade the door with and closes it up, which is pretty good. It's like, I'm going to trap her inside with me.
He did a much better job of barricading.
So he's searching through the place. She's like hiding in one of the beams. She falls on him. And then the tussle kind of starts. She's able to make it to the upper level in the barn and finds the shovel. And like fucking, and again, this is what I like about her is because she, in any of these sorts of slasher movies, like she would fucking swing that fucking shovel, get him right across the head, and then just assume he's dead or leave.
Well,
she's like, no. Let me grab this noose that somehow is already tied. I'm going to wrap this around his fucking neck and I am going to hang this fucker to make sure he's fucking dead.
Do we really think that was the best choice though? I take issue with the choice of the noose. You've got a shovel.
Yeah. I'll just keep doing that
him
shovel
to a bloody pulp. Like, you should have stabbed him in the neck, like just chopped off his head.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess the hanging is less sloppy, but like, he killed all your friends. He killed your non-boyfriend. Just like, go for it. So I didn't like that she chose the hanging. And obviously that didn't work out for her.
It didn't work out. Well, I mean, she should have found some other way to get outside because He's like hanging right in front of the door. I'd be like, I would not want to walk past that.
There's another
I'm good.
reason why not to hang him there.
Yeah. Which is exactly what happens, right? She's like, all right, fine. We figured it out. Got it. We're settled. Goes, opens the door. And of course, he's like, just kidding. I'm back.
I love that you get to see how strong he is again when he's like lifting himself from being hung. That's pretty fucking badass, honestly.
That's some like Olympic gymnast shit that you're able to like just deadlift your own weight. He's a big guy too.
He's a big guy and it looks like he's really doing it. Maybe he's on, maybe he's on a stool or something, but it's convincing either way. Yeah.
As he's taking the noose off, you do knock the mask off for a little bit. And then in case there was any sort of doubt, she's like,
they shouldn't have been.
You're the guy from my dream. Oh my God.
Who would have thought?
Like, I get it. Like, Google didn't exist because I would think before, like, even before going out, maybe you would Google like Crystal Lake weather and then you pull that up on Google, but you would just get all of the news reports of all the dead people
Don't
at
go
Crystal
there.
Lake. Because whereas in between one and two, it was like a 5-year difference. This movie takes place like literally the day after the second one. So it's like they're still identifying the bodies from the last one. So
that's definitely an advantage of the internet that we have that, you know, Chris did not have.
Well, ultimately, I do think she does a pretty admirable job of attacking back. Jason's still alive. They tussle again. He grabs a machete. She thinks she might be down for the count. And then it turns out Ollie is still alive.
And has been chilling in this barn the whole time. I'm assuming
The
he was
whole time.
unconscious.
His face is looking pretty good for how much he was like beaten earlier.
I know. If you like, I watched this twice to prepare, and it looks like he's hitting him on the arm, which why would he do that? But it looks like Jason is like beating him like on the side of his body instead of his head. But I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be hitting him on the head.
Right.
Yeah. So he's looking pretty good. You're right.
While I do appreciate the effects of, you know, his arm getting chopped off pretty good. And then it just gets beaten to death again. Like really this time for
like
real.
actually.
I would have preferred if Ollie lived and like helped her and they saved the day. Cause then you have this kind of like fun odd couple pairing.
Yeah.
Of
I
two
agree.
people that had not met at all this entire
That's
movie.
true. Yeah. And she was like, where the fuck did you come from? And he's like, oh, I'm the one that took the gas out of the van.
Yeah.
Whoopsie
Whoops.
daisy. Check, please.
So, but you're welcome. Now we're even.
Yeah.
Right? So I kind of would have preferred that he lived,
That
but
would have been
that's
fun.
okay. He does buy her some time. I do think it's pretty funny. It reminds me, Jason does this sometimes where like Jason kind of gets entranced in a kill that it'll just distract him. He won't pay attention to anything else that's going on around him.
Yeah.
So she's like, she has a lot of time to get prepared and get the axe because he is just his back's turned to her.
He's having a
And
great
he's just
time.
beating the dude over and over and over again. I was like, this is pretty funny. So though she grabs that axe, bam, right through his fucking head.
Love that.
Right through the mask. And then he's allegedly down for the count.
I like the shot of him reaching for her with the axe in his head. Like, obviously there's like a 3D moment, but I like that one. It's kind of silly, but I like the idea of the axe, like giving him brain confusion while he's like reaching for her. So I think it's a fun, fun shot.
As he's kind of stumbling around and falling over. So, all right, we think Jason's dead. So just like any reasonable person would, they're like, hey, let's go get in this canoe and go to sleep in the middle of this lake. Don't even worry about it.
Nope. Probably would have walked my way to that store.
Yeah, probably. Or just, I don't know, find a phone. It's not like they figured something out.
I think she was just in an exhausted shock, obviously.
It would have been cool if she found one of the motorcycles. you know, and just like rode off.
Yeah, I just rode off into the distance and
that would have been pretty cool.
Horizon. Yeah.
But alas, she does not. And then you're supposed to believe that basically everything from here on out until the police show up is a dream again.
I would think so.
Because she wakes up in the canoe the next day. She's still in the middle of the lake. Mm-hmm. But then she looks to the cabin and sees through the window, Jason's there without his mm-hmm. mask and definitely has that big old gash in his head.
Yeah.
She's losing it because oh, yeah. she's like, fuck, I thought he was dead. He's coming outside, trying to come mm-hmm. towards her. She's trying to row away, gets stuck on some logs. She's mm-hmm. trying to move some logs. And then maybe the dumbest part of this movie, and it is a dumb movie, so a lot of dumb stuff
it
happens.
It is, yeah. I do like that we get to see Jason without his mask in the daylight.
Yeah, me too. That's it looks good. Cool. Show it off, man.
And yeah, he's got the confidence. Makeup looks good.
He's got the confidence that Shelley never had.
Yes. Yes. You know? Good for Jason.
So I don't like how Mrs. Voorhees, now with a head,
oh yeah,
jumps out of the water.
About that,
I get what they were like thinking. They were like trying to do like, it's like kind of come full circle and whatever, yeah. whatever. But it was all pretty dumb. But
it is very dumb.
I do like how she's got like worms and stuff crawling out of her head and shit like that. So yeah. it doesn't look bad necessarily, but. It's
yeah, I think she looks good. Like the makeup for her and like the sweater and everything looks really good popping out of the water, but
yeah.
it does feel unnecessary. And also, like, I'm assuming that because we do have supernatural elements that present themselves in later movies and maybe already, that these dreams are also kind of in like a weird supernatural or like vision realm, only because Alice didn't know like that Jason was supposed to be still in the lake, right?
Correct.
Or even like with Chris, does she even know Mrs. Voorhees exists? Like, she has no idea who Jason is. So for her to have a dream that this woman, this dead woman, is popping out of the water, like, it feels like maybe there's some supernaturalness to this.
And whatever happened with her parents?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Like,
where the fuck are they?
Where the fuck are they?
I mean, obviously they're not at this cabin.
I guess so.
They're like, we're not going back to that property. Are you kidding?
I would have liked it better if, like, yeah, like, she woke up and her parents were dead or something. And that's why yeah. she doesn't come back. So she's like, that dream that must be have been fun. Real, but there's no way to prove it. But also my parents are dead or my parents vanished. I don't know. I'm yeah. not sure.
She's just looking real rough after this situation, like in the cop car, like cackling.
Yeah.
Feels very like Texas Chainsaw. Like she's lost her marbles from this situation, which is yeah. not unfair.
And yeah, you see her being driven away and then a shot at Jason's body, just complete with the axe. That's how you know that whole part was a dream, because Jason's still in the barn with yes. the axe in his head.
Yes, he has not moved.
And then that's the end of our movie. Friday the 13th, part 3.
Yeah.
Did I forget anything?
I don't think so. It feels very short.
It is.
Yeah,
especially
it's a short movie.
Yeah, especially just going from kind of kill to kill. Yeah.
This has a lot of kills.
Yeah. Or it's like, what, 8 yeah. in the last one, I think? Only just because what the newscast said. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
So, does this movie have any taglines?
This movie has 5 taglines.
Okay, that's manageable.
And guess what? They also like to talk about 3D.
Okay. Love it.
So, join Jason in the woods if you dare. I don't think anyone would choose that.
Yeah.
I like this one. Meet Jason in a whole new dimension. Stupid.
I think with the novelty of 3D, even then at the time, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. A new dimension in terror.
Okay, same, but all right.
Same idea. Camp Crystal Lake's Bloody Legacy.
Sure.
Yeah. And then a new dimension in terror. There's nowhere to hide. We dare you to try.
But like most of the time you're like hiding from like yo-yos and popcorn flying at
creepy
you.
men. Yeah, no one knows Jason is about when they get killed, so there's not really a lot of hiding going on.
Well, and the new dimension, right? This third dimension, right? Like it's a stick coming at your head, you know, or like a kid's baseball bat. So I'm just kind of like, I don't know if you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, so not the best. I think I like Join Jason in the Woods if you dare.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that
Maybe
too.
It should be Join Jason at the Lake if you dare.
Yeah. I'll go first with my boo score.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I, like I said before, I think this is a transition movie. This isn't the same rules as our other series, right? Where I can at least hint at movies going forward. I don't think we set those rules.
That's no, we don't have those same rules. But do you want me to tell you your previous boo scores?
Sure.
Okay. So for Friday the 13th, you give that 3 boos.
Okay.
For part 2 boos.
Okay. How about you?
I gave Friday the 13th 3 boos as well, and part 2, 2.5 boos.
Okay.
I went a little higher on that one. Because I like Jenny.
This movie, I like Ginny too, but like I said, I do like Chris. Chris is nowhere near my favorite, like,
she's fine.
Of the final girls, but she's okay. I'm gonna give this one a 2 as well. I do think that the kills are the best in the series so far.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I do think that the 3D is pretty charming. Just especially when you're not watching it in 3D and you can like tell just like obviously, you know, they're just trying to incorporate it somehow into every single scene. I love that. I think I would have had such a blast watching this in 1982 at the theater with my little red and blue glasses. And also like, yeah, you get the hockey mask, you get Jason in some really nice boots and some well-fitting jeans, you know. I like this look. And that the music, I know it's the same guy that
the
did the
music
score
is
of the
so
other
good.
two, but something just fucking just pops way harder this time around where I'm just feeling it.
Well, I think for the most part, like I've listened to these scores, like just in the background, and they're hard to listen to without watching the movie because everything is like really just, you know, matching what's happening when things are striking and things are popping out. So it's not, doesn't feel great musically, but that opening track is really, really fun. And that one's fun to listen to on its own, even without the film. So I like that.
So yeah, I think this one's great. It is not, I know the series gets worse. But
For sure.
gosh, sometimes I think even the worst ones, I just don't know if I could give a lower score to. So
we'll see.
Maybe, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, actually, no, never mind. There's a couple that will get a lower boo score than
I
this.
think so.
But like almost always in an endearing way, though. Like I'm
It
like,
is. Yes, and no.
This movie is such a more charming Tubu movie than some of the other Tubu movies I've talked about.
I agree. I definitely agree. I would say like Friday the 13th is definitely not my franchise. I have a special place for it because I grew up watching it, but I don't turn to these movies as comfort movies. So my boo scores are usually pretty low for them. But I love Jason and I love the backstory. I think this movie does have really fun kills. I would love to have seen this in 3D. Like, if there was a way to watch it in 3D, I think it would be really fun. And the characters are fine. Like, Chris is fine. I'm not super like hot on her or anything, but I'm also going to give this movie 2 boos.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a but like a strong 2 boo movie.
I think this movie is my franchise more so than. It's funny, I watch these movies more than I watch Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Oh, interesting. I definitely watch Nightmare on Elm Street more, but
Yeah.
haven't watched it in a while.
I just remember a couple summers ago where, like, I just watched, like, every. It was like during COVID, so it was a few years ago, but it, like every single night for a week and a half, I just watched a Friday the 13th movie. And
Yeah,
then like a few
I
weeks
remember
after it,
that.
I know, I think it was giving live texting during all of them.
Yes.
But then even like a month later, being like, ooh, I'm gonna watch part four again. We're like, ooh, I'm gonna watch part six again. Or like, ooh, I'm gonna watch Jason X again.
That's different though when you like pick your favorites out of the group, because they're
Yeah.
like, that being said, like although this is not my franchise, there's definitely a solid three or four that I really love and I do rewatch more often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, you got anything else?
No, that's it.
Dang. Happy Friday the 13th, everybody. I
Yeah.
think it's like March or something when the next one comes around. So, well, you'll of course, you know where to find us when that holiday rolls around.
Yeah, then we'll get to part four.
Yeah, which I arguably people might say is the best
Yeah, a lot of
outside of the
people
first one.
love part four, so
Yeah.
I think that'll be a fun one.
I do think it's the most realized of the movies.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Dang. Okay, everybody, stay safe in your hammocks. And just stop with the yo-yos. Come on. You remember when yo-yos came back in like 1998 or something like that? We were in middle school.
Yeah, I did not participate in that. I don't know how to use a yo-yo. Do you?
A little bit. I always
I
wanted to
can't.
be able to do the stuff Michelangelo does at the beginning of
Oh.
Here I am again. Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, when
That's
he's like,
advanced.
yeah, that, oh, that's advanced yo-yoing.
Yeah.
Especially when you have like three like mutant digits on your hand.
Yeah, you said it like real casual. Like, I just wanted to be able to do a couple tricks like Michelangelo at the beginning of Ninja Turtles too.
Yeah, he does the walk the dog, and then he just starts swinging around, hitting people in the head with it. So
Yeah.
it's pretty good.
It's a skill.
Dang, I think I need to put on Secret of the Ooze after this.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I got. Take care, everybody. 3, 2, 1, ghost.
Thanks for listening to our episode on Friday the 13th, Part 3. If you enjoyed this episode, you can subscribe to our podcast and leave us a killer review on whichever platform you choose to listen. No, but really, if you've listened to more than 2 episodes, I'm going to need you to hit subscribe. You can find us on Instagram at 321GhostPod and give us a follow. We're very active on Instagram and would love to hear from you. You could shoot an email to 321ghostpod@gmail.com to share any thoughts, questions, or request a movie you'd like to hear us chat about. Next week, we're feeling the holiday spirits with 2003's Dead End. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you all have a spooky Friday. 3, 2, 1, ghost.